Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. I am so stoked for this one because I absolutely love and adore this woman and I have known her my entire life. Her name is Susan Sanders and this woman is just incredibly consistent and any advice or wisdom that she shares in this episode, you can take it to the bank, I promise you. She is amazing and I hope you guys are as blessed by this conversation as I was. This is Miss Susan Sanders and I'm going to call you Miss because Miss Susan has watched me grow up. I went to school with her son and we graduated high school together. And so she is still in Georgia where I grew up. And we go to the same church. So anytime I go home, we're at the same church and my family's still there. So Miss Susan has been in my life for a long time and we've gotten to reconnect recently. And, she is just someone I have looked up to a lot. She's poured into my life as a young kid and then in high school. It's an honor to have you here today.
Thank you. You
are somebody I look up to a lot. You've shared a lot of wisdom with me over the years. So anyways, we can just jump into it.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been doing women's ministry for a long, long time in our church. That Anna mentioned, our church that we both go to, Sherwood. And we, just as a woman that has kind of seen, you know, a lot of change over the years, I probably started teaching Bible studies when I was in my early, probably mid-20s, late-20s. And I mean, I'm 61 now. So, just seen a lot of change, in just women and how they relate to one another and just, the influences that have changed things over the years, what's changed and some of the things that have changed and why have they changed and when they did change, what did we do with the new, you know, what did we do when the internet became this huge thing where everybody, you know, runs to get wisdom. And so I've just kind of watched over the years a lot of things change for women. And I loved the whole idea where you are just kind of getting back to the roots of where wisdom comes from and your platform and what you're putting your energy into in this podcast to me is just so, it's so rich. It's so good because I do feel like women have changed in how they relate to the Lord and how they trust the Lord. I think women have just kind of altered how they come to the Lord and how they receive information and wisdom from the Lord and how they apply it. And so that's some of the things that you and I talked about the other day. I think every woman has to ask herself some questions, some really basic questions. And so I just wrote a few things down today for us to talk about. But one of the first things that I think she has to kind of help answer for herself. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "For without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, God is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And if I am going to please the Lord, the one thing that I have to have is faith in his word. It's the one thing that has got to be at the bottom of everything that I do and I think. And so I often kind of think of, you know, as women, what are we doing that we're putting something else in that faith position? Like, without this, it's impossible to please God, you know? And I think some of it is, without church attendance, it's impossible to please God, or without perfection, you know, and everything being perfect in my life, it's impossible to please God, or without constant intimacy with the Lord, you know, that just constant, never ending intimacy, you know, without that, it's impossible to please the Lord. I had another one here, without works based task lists, for every day. It's impossible to please the
Mm-hmm.
Lord. None of those things fit in that spot, but the word faith. And so I just think faith is so much bigger than women even are thinking. I think it's so much more important. And it's a place where I think we as women can fall down. We can put other things in the place of our faith.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, to have faith,
Absolutely.
in the word of God.
Absolutely. Well, so go ahead, finish your thought.
I was just going to say, I think that, we saw a whole in the Old Testament, we saw a whole generation of Israelites that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And why did they wander? Because they did not believe. I think it says in Hebrews 3 that they wandered in the wilderness because of their unbelief. Are we wandering in our lives? Are we without any direction? Are we going in circles just like they did? Are we doing that in our lives because we've refused to have faith in the God who can do anything and a God who can do the impossible? And so that was, that's kind of one of my first thoughts,
So this is a little bit of what we had talked about on our phone call the other day. And when you talk about faith, any religion can claim you have to have faith. And I know for me, that was one thing that kind of got me tripped up because I thought, well, you can say that for any religion. You just have to have faith and it goes. And so that can cause some people to kind of freak out and be like, well, how what just have faith. What does that even look like or mean? And so, for me, so that I don't get tripped up and fall into this, what is it, deconstructing mindset. So, with the Israelites, the Lord literally did a miracle after a miracle after a miracle to prove his faithfulness and to prove that he was just in control the entire time, and they still would turn around and complain moments later. And so it's easy to look at that and say, they're ridiculous. How could, how could they when he just provided the manna, when he just sent the pillar of smoke or the cloud, the pillar of fire, and then
Of
the cloud?
fire.
And I think for us, what I have to do is turn around and say, what has the Lord already done? Because I told you this on the phone call, but we had a guest speaker at our church recently come, and he was talking about, he said, when is it going to be enough what the Lord has already done in your life? Jesus dying on the cross and raising from the dead, and there being hundreds of eyewitnesses, and then everything he's done in your life, not just the history recorded in the Bible and all the scientific proof, historical proof that they're still finding today. When is it going to be enough for you to have faith and to trust him and move forward and stop trying to deconstruct everything? And that I remember in a moment that just it broke me, and I was like, when am I going to stop feeling like I have to have every answer for everything before I can trust him? And when is it going to be enough? Because it'll never be enough if I'm waiting on my human logic to be able to catch up with it all. And so people will ask us questions. I know I'm fearful of not having the answer when a non-believer is coming and they're attacking my faith, because you always want to be ready to give a defense. But it's not about me having all the answers. You can be real with people and say, I don't know. I do not have the answer for that. I'm going to go pray and figure it out. But we don't have to wait to logically be able to understand everything. And he's good enough to where he gave us the tangible, the stories, the hundreds of eyewitnesses that saw him raised from the dead. He's good enough to where he gave those things to us. And now he requires, n now it requires something of us, which is
And I and you know you say those things because that's part of what we struggle with is what is it that we're believing for? What am I believing for? You're right. Every religion does have faith, and that you can't just have faith in faith or faith in any religion or whatever. You have to know the God of the Bible. You have to know Jesus. And Jesus has to be at the basis and the foundation of that faith, or it's it's useless. And that first question is just, what is God calling me to have faith in? What is he doing? And I've always, faith is such a big word. Have faith in God. Well, yeah, I have faith in God. I mean, that's the big picture. But what I'm talking about is those daily small, maybe not small, but they may be seemingly insignificant, things that God's calling me to trust him with. A friend betrays me and I feel less than, but I can trust that God has a place and a purpose for me in this life and with that person. Or I lose my job. And what am I trusting? Oh, I'm trusting that God's going to provide. He's going to give me what I need. I'm struggling with depression or anxiety or fear, and I'm wondering, I'm constantly going to God daily. Lord, what do you want me to have faith for? Will you want me to have faith that you're bigger than any problem, that I'm going through? You're going to help me in my struggle wherever I am. So a lot of those questions about, what do we have faith, but what are we having faith in? And so I encourage people, to daily be asking God for something. Be asking God for the next thing. What's the next thing you want me to believe in? What if I don't have any struggles or trials? Or anything major is going on in my life, that doesn't give me a chance or an opportunity to say, I don't have really nothing really to have faith in today. God's woken me up this morning and he's asked me to have faith in something, for something. He's asked me to faith, my word that I use for faith is anticipation. When I wake up in the morning, I anticipate God has got something for me to look forward to. I am anticipating some work of God in my
Absolutely.
day, in my life, in my circumstances. So
When you're
to
asking,
me,
he's gonna tell you something. If you are asking and
definitely,
you're listening,
definitely.
he's not gonna say nothing.
And it's interesting that you say that, Anna, because I have said to people before, listen, God is such an incredible God that as much as you want to trust him for as much as he wants to give you, he's all in. In other words, I kind of laughingly say, if you want to go to the grocery store and you want to say, God, I really don't know what we're going to eat tonight. Would you help me to know what we're going to eat tonight? If you're having that kind of faith in God, God's going to give you something. He's going to tell you something. I mean, he is going to provide something, some way, that.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, that's being facetious, but in all honesty, if we are asking God for that level of detail and he's receiving that faith on our end and we're having that kind of a faith, what greater way to glorify him than for us to trust him in the smallest of detail,
And just inviting him. I always heard God as a gentleman. So sometimes he will get your attention,
Definitely.
but if you're sitting there asking, why, if he's a good father and his children are asking for something, why would he's not going to not answer. I just don't believe
Absolutely.
that.
Totally agree
But
with you.
so slightly pivoting what we're already talking about, pivoting to suffering when we're talking about faith and suffering and trusting the word in suffering. This is also something we talked about on that phone call, that I know you felt very passionately about. So, tell me what that looks like for you in seasons where you did not feel like you had answers, or you were praying for something for a long time and did not feel like you were hearing, or you woke up in the morning and you knew, I need him to sustain me, or oh, today is not going to be good, dependency right when you wake up. So would you share a testimony or just what you've learned over the years when it comes to trusting the Lord in the toughest of seasons?
Sure. I'll actually tell you a little bit of a background of story of me. When I was early, my girls were little, so this was in my 30s, late 20s, early 30s.
Okay.
I just started going into a depression, and I didn't understand it. I'd never been depressed in my life. It was just not something that historically I dealt with at all. And I remember just beginning this d depression that I couldn't explain. And I remember at that time, at that time, because it was so long ago, you didn't go to get counseling unless you were like
Right.
really messed up or so there
Yes.
were no counselors out there. There was no church counseling center. There nothing like that. And I remember I started just becoming very depressed and anxious and sad, and I couldn't explain it. And I really believe it now. I believe it was spiritual warfare, but at the time I didn't understand. And so I kind of spiraled down into this, and this went on for 4 years.
Oh my.
And I just thought that, I am never going to be whole again. And I just got to this really discouraged, despairing kind of feeling. Every day I woke up to this, and I mean, I wasn't sleeping at nights, and I was worrying all day. And I remember thinking, God can do a lot of things. He can heal people, but I've never seen him heal anybody that's depressed. That's like they have to go and get medicine, and they get, and they just they, you, God just can't. It's too much. And I remember God. I went to a conference, a women's conference, and I remember at that conference the Lord speaking to me clearly about my depression. And saying, I'm going to heal you. I mean, I sensed it. It happened in a moment of time. It happened when it was actually Beth Moore speaking, and it was in Clearwater, Florida. And she just stood up, and she right before the meeting, and she said, I feel like there's such a heaviness in here. I think we need to pray. I want everybody to get on the floor and pray. And so we did. And Anna, I am not one. I'm not one for, like spiritual experiences and all of that. I mean, my belief comes from the word of God and from, what he speaks to me in his word and all that. But I literally was on the floor, and I felt a hand on the back of me, like somebody touched me on the back of me. And I turned around, and there was no one behind me, but it was so real and so significant. And the Lord, the minute I felt the touch, I just in my spirit heard him say, I'm going to heal you by my word. And when he said that, I received it. I just said, Lord, I don't even know what that means, but I'm listening, and I'm going to believe it. And I just began to walk in that. And I'm serious. Every time I began to feel anxious, and at that point, it was every 3 to 5 minutes. But every time I began to feel that feeling, I would get out the word of God. And I mean, literally, I was one of those people that they say, never do this, never just open your Bible and go somewhere. I was so desperate. There were many times that I would just open my Bible and
Holding
get to it.
nothing
But you know what I learned? I learned that every time I went and got to the word of God, I would stay there until God gave me something to hang
open.
on to. And even if it was
Yes.
something that lasted me 5 minutes until the next meltdown, it was enough. It was enough. God's word was enough for me. And I went, and it taught me this behavior and this attitude of God's going to help me if I get there. God's going to help me if I get to this word. God's going to help me if I trust him for the next
Desperation,
5 minutes. And I just began to have that faith in the word of God that if I got to it, that I was going to be healed and God would help me. I went through, it took almost a year before I literally walked out of that depression, and I've never walked back in it because I learned so much about what God wanted for me. God filled me with his word, but he filled me with healing. because I began to trust his word would get me out of that
Yeah.
pit.
Wow.
And so
Wow.
that's just one experience of just
Yeah.
many, many that I've walked through in my
Yeah,
life.
that's amazing. I've only 23 years old, but I think through some of the hardest things I've been through just in my 23 years. And you can't speak for other people's experiences, but you can share your own testimonies. And I think that is something I can easily become fearful of is, like you said, you said you had two girls by then, you had multiple kids, and you had never struggled with depression before. And so hearing that, it's easy to become fearful and say, oh, like you just don't know what's ahead. I'm sure there's plenty more in my life that is gonna, it's gonna plenty more suffering that I'm gonna have to walk through that I don't know about. And I don't want to walk in fear of the future. And so, and there's a verse about that. I think it's in Proverbs 31 that talks about she laughs at the times to come because she's not afraid. And so a question I've been recently asking the Lord over and over again is I'm like, how do I prep now? Not to where I'm invincible. Like I know I'm going to have to be dependent on the Lord. I am too weak to prep and feel prepared for anything. But I know that dependency on him, that is something I'd say a year or two ago, I started asking for again was dependency because I didn't have it. I realized it's like he just showed me I was not dependent on him because I felt like my life was really good. And I thought about it and I was like, what was the last thing I had to really beg the Lord for? Or that I was literally like, if you do not help me, I will not be well. And I started thinking and I was like, I don't know. I really don't know. And then I was like, I'm not growing in. My spirit man is not growing in strength if I am not depending upon the Lord and when tragedy comes. So I had to start praying and I said, will you teach me to be dependent upon you again? Now, of course, there were things I was praying for that I had not seen answered. They weren't not yet answered prayers in my mind, but the Lord has began teaching me how to be dependent on him even in the mornings and in the best way, not like I'm tortured, like it's truly teaching me how to be dependent. And I know that I'm going to be sustained. And so my job is not to be 100% ready for whatever comes so that nothing catches me off guard. And my job is not to never feel weak. I think it's when those things come, if a season of this depressive, I don't want to speak that over myself, but things will come. And just knowing, preparing myself now and the things that I'm going through now and the things that are to come, doing exactly what you just said. Like I'm even thinking now, okay, when little things happen, I'm gonna start jumping to the, I want to start implementing that more in my life so that when the bigger things come, you've already trained yourself. You've already
Absolutely.
trained yourself to do this.
And think about it too. Every time you suffer, I mean, this is a huge blessing of it all. Every time suffering comes into our lives, mine or yours, the first thing we can say is, "Hey, Lord, you want to teach me something." Instead of this focus
Yes,
on
perspective.
the suffering and it's so big, and
Yes.
switch that whole idea and just begin to say, "Wait a minute, what am I going to learn out of this? What is this suffering going to do for my faith?" I'm going to start out, over here like a baby seedling. And by the end of this trial, and that tree is growing and
Yes.
growing and growing, I'm going to be an oak of righteousness on this side.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
may start out as a sapling in this thing, but I'm going to be so much stronger by the end of this. There's a great verse in 1 Peter 5:10, I believe it is, but it talks about this progression of the Lord. He will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And it's talking about suffering, all the suffering of all the people that they've gone through. And then it begins to say, here's what God's going to do through that. And every single word there is so powerful. Perfect is a term that is using it, it's a term that they used for mending of nets in fishing. So that when that net is torn, when God pulls all that thing back together, and you're at the end of that trial, and he's pulled that thing back together, it'll be stronger in the place it was broken than it was before it was
Wow,
broken.
yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, there's just so much that God's doing in our faith, with our faith, to strengthen us and to bring foundation up underneath us
Absolutely.
when we struggle, when we
Okay.
suffer.
They told me that about I've broken my right arm 3 times. I'm sure you remember me always being in
Yes.
cast that
I
neon
remember.
green cast. But they told me that they said in that same space where your arm was broken, it's there more calcium, like it the body almost it's so cool the way the Lord made it, because it's like your body knows to send everything to that one spot, and it becomes stronger unless you break it again before it's fully healed, which I did do.
True.
But
Oh.
that's the picture I was getting in my head as you were talking about that. But my dad always said nobody wants to watch a movie where from beginning to end everything goes perfect. Nobody's gonna watch that because you want the trials. Nobody wants to go through them, but you want to watch them because you get to see the character
Absolutely.
development and you get to see how they're stronger at the end of the movie than they were
True.
before. And there's a story there, and a
Yep.
testimony. And that's where the perseverance comes in, and that's where you get to see the ugly sides and then the good sides. And so nobody wants it, but like if this life is but a glimpse on earth. I'm just like I have just been thinking so much about why does it matter? Why am I so concerned about my personal trials? Like it's not even truly, it's not even about me. And the Lord has been showing me that so much recently. He's like, Anna, why are you sitting here so concerned about you, like what am I
Right.
we go through?
Right.
And I'm like, everybody will face, and what I have to face is not even a fraction of what other people have to face, for their faith. And so I just, it's just what is our life that you that you wouldn't lay it down completely if you truly
Yeah.
believe that the word of God is true. And so I am just a believer in not being afraid of the trials that are to come. And when they do
Yeah.
come, I want to get to the point where I can look at them and laugh. That doesn't mean I don't have
Yeah.
moments of being
Yeah.
like, oh my gosh, like, of course I'm going to have moments, but I
Yeah.
want to get to the point where I can look at them and laugh because I am that confident in the God that I am serving and that he is just, and that he's already won. I have to tell myself, and especially with just the state of our nation and everything
Yeah,
going on,
yeah.
and the more that I'm realizing and how broken our world is, I have to tell myself. The other day I started to fret a little bit and I was like, okay, but he already won. He already won. It's just about how am I gonna respond to today's trials
Right.
and
That's right.
not cry about what's to come. Just how am I responding now? And so
Right.
it's a dependency thing. It is truly a
It is
dependency thing. I wake up
definitely.
and I'm like, okay, I'm dependent on you. And the first thing I start to worry about, right, the anxiety. I'm like, okay, what am I learning through this? And so it's like you grow that mental and that mental strength, you're growing and becoming, your
Yeah.
spirit man is becoming stronger.
Right, right.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you about you are a wife, a mother, you've helped in the I you've played a lot of roles. And I know for me, watching you growing up, you were Andrew's mom, and then you were a do now church leader for me. And I just this is something I've talked to my mom about a good bit too, but how to not get stuck in the mundane, day-to-day tasks and responsibilities of, for you, being a mother, being a wife, helping at church, like all the roles you play. I know that a lot of moms take their role very seriously, which they should. That's one of the most important jobs you'll ever have in your entire life. But I also know that the enemy, I've talked to my mother about this a lot, comes to attack your role. Whatever that is. And so for her, she's talked about how the enemy has tried to mentally attack her just as like telling her things were just mundane or that they weren't important.
Sure.
And
Sure.
so I kind of wanted, I guess, just to ask you about that. I'm sure you've had seasons where what you were, the enemy was just attacking what
Yeah.
you were called to do on the day to day. And so what are some ways that you stayed on track and you checked back in with the Lord and you had to have your mind renewed? And anyways, you get
Yeah.
what I'm asking. I'll let you take the
Yes, I do. And you know what? You're right. I mean, everything we do, we're attacked as women. If you think about it, if you go to that Proverbs 31 woman and you look at this perfect woman,
Yes.
she's got, I mean, look at everything she's doing. It is all mundane. It is feeding the family and going out and getting stuff she needs and taking care of her family when it's cold and when the weather's, and all. I mean, it's all mundane. But if you think back in your life, and I know you've got a huge, oh, your family is so amazing. You've got some incredible giants of
Awesome.
women in your family. But when you think about those women, you don't think of them in the task so much as the attitude they had while they were doing the task, or as the work, the finished work of what they were doing, of the emotional support that it was for you, or that's what you look at, those huge giant of these women, these incredible women. That's what you think about. You don't really look at the day-to-day stuff. You look at how they tackled it, what their faith looked like in the middle of it, how they did their own suffering. And so to me, when I think of just the mundane tasks, the day-to-day, the every, you know, just get up and do the same thing over and over, I just have to look at that in the bigger picture. What am I saying to people around me? And I really don't think of it as so much as what am I saying to people, like, what's the image that I'm giving off? What I really am more looking at is what is God doing in me, and how am I living out a reflection of Christ in everything I do? I mean, if I everything I do in Colossians, it says everything that we do, we're to be doing to the glory of the Lord. That means I wash dishes to the glory of the Lord. That means I sweep floors to the glory of the Lord. It means I do all of the boring, mundane stuff, and somehow God uses that for his glory and his good and my good. And so
Absolutely.
I really can't say that it may be mundane, it may be boring, maybe, blasé kind of day-to-day things you do. But if we have the heart of Christ, and if we're walking in faith, and if we're doing all the these things that Christ calls us to, and in the Christ life that we live, then there is fruit from that. I mean, we have to trust that God is bringing fruit while we're washing dishes. That's fruitful. That's spiritually fruitful when we're washing dishes or sweeping a floor or changing a diaper or whatever we're doing, teaching a Bible study or whatever. So I think that's where that faith comes in. We just have to know that God's got this. And when the enemy attacks us and says, what you're doing is so insignificant, and you're just it's a waste of time and all of that, we just have to know that that is not the truth. That the truth is that every second that God has given us is redeemable. It is to be used for his glory. Every second we have is redeemable. And we're to use it for that, for those purposes.
That's so good.
It's interesting that you say that, and that's a great segue to remind myself and maybe some others that may not realize it. But this whole platform that you're building, talking about women, women kind of passing down information and wisdom to other and knowledge to other ladies. If you think about it, there's so much benefit to that, because when you and I are passing on our knowledge, whether it's you passing it on to somebody younger than you, or me passing it on to somebody younger than me, or others passing it on to me, because I have a lot of women that, that are older than me that pass it on. When all of that's happening, the benefits of that are incredible. Yes, the benefit of a younger person learning from an older person, and that's Titus 2, in action. And so definitely that's happening. But think of the other things that are happening there. I wrote some of them down. First of all, the person passing the information and the person receiving the information, there's an instantaneous connection with those two people. There would not have been any other way. One person passing knowledge to another person one-on-one or one in a group. There's a connection. You and I have always had a connection, always, because as you came up through the ranks and you got older, you and I always had these places where we were connecting through the Word of God, Bible studies, D-nows, whatever was happening, just in seeing each other in church, those kinds of things. That brings connection. And part of the body of Christ is about being connected to other people. It's being connected to people around you that can,
Absolutely.
help and pour in and counsel. So it does that. But let me tell you what it does for an older woman. And this is key. This is key for me, because I'm the older woman of the two of us, and I can't tell you when you called and said, I want to ask you, I want you to, talk with me on podcast about some things. The first thing I said was, what in the world can I tell Anna? I mean, Anna is a spiritual giant of a girl. She knows it all. She's got all these great women of God pouring into her.
No.
What on earth can I tell her that
Miss,
is going to
you
make
are
a
an OG
difference?
though. You are an OG.
But you know what it did for me, Anna? It did exactly what you just said a while ago. All of a sudden, God gave it. I could almost cry thinking about it. God gave me a sense of, Lord, all the things that I have gone through, and the suffering, and the good and the bad, the blessings and the suffering. All it gave me purpose. Like, you
On.
really are still using me, Lord. Like, somebody
Absolutely.
really does want to hear what I've been through, or does want to learn from something that I've learned about, or they, and it just gave me such a sense of purpose. So you see, that Titus 2 thing is not just for the girl who's getting the knowledge. It's for the women who have lived long in the saddle, and they want to be able to know that there's some purpose left. I'm getting to
Absolutely.
the age where, I'm on the downhill side now, I'm kind of going.
That.
And honestly, Anna, you begin to feel sometimes almost irrelevant. I mean, a lot of people they don't need you anymore. Your kids grow up and they go away, and they don't need you like they used to. And people in Bible study, they're looking for the new and the gifted young teachers, and which is great. I love them too. But they're, and so you begin to feel a little bit like, what is my purpose? Like, what do I do now? What do you want the rest of my life to look like? And so that Titus 2 thing doesn't just benefit one, it benefits both. Another thing I thought about was that when you share information, one person to one lady to another, it makes the person that has asked the question, it makes them feel cared about. Like, you were worth my time today, Anna. You were absolutely worth every, I would give you days of my time. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying,
Feel the same
you,
about you.
and honestly, it does that for us. So it doesn't just benefit you, it doesn't just benefit me, but it makes you feel loved and cared about. And then the last thing that I thought about was, it brings me into a sense of humility, because when you asked me to do this, I was humbled that you would even come to me. And humility is something that we could all use a good dose of every day. You know what I'm saying? It is something that we could all. So it look at all the benefits to just passing knowledge. And you know what you're doing on this podcast? You are doing that exact thing. You have begun something that is going to bring healing and help. It's going to bring encouragement. And you've begun something that you can't even touch the fruit of on down the line. You can't even know the ripple effect of what you're doing that's going to last for eternity. You have no idea what you've begun, but I can tell you it's going to be amazing. That's amazing.
I'm just sitting here thinking, I was asking the Lord, who were the first few women? Because this is only, this is the third in order that I've recorded, but I don't know what I'm doing. I truly don't know what I'm doing. My texts keep coming in and I don't know how to silence them on my laptop. And it's like, ding, ding. I'm like, well, that's going to be in the recording. It's so, but you were one of the first people that popped into my mind, just thinking, because you can think of all the women who feel out of touch that are, you know, people you've listened to that you've never met before that you can put on your list and dream about. But then I really felt that I was supposed to ask women who are in my circle already, or had helped raise me, or that I've already had pour into my life. And I already know that the wisdom they have personally, and I could see them face to face. So you were one of the first people, and I've just was sitting here listening to you sharing that. And that just built my spirit up so much and encouraged me, because I was even sitting here thinking, God, this was not, I just did not do this right with just the technology and all of it. So, so thank you for sharing that. And that's exactly what I want this to be, is the body of Christ building each other up, and it to be a platform for it to be a sharpening tool, to literally just be a sharpening tool. And I just feel so passionately about women and encouraging each other, and the gossip, like all the things that we tend to fall into, just reversing that, having a tool to reverse. Because I know I still fall into it, and I have to constantly check myself and allow the Lord to be. So thank you so much for sharing that so much. And I'm more fired up now than I was before about it. But the last thing I do want to ask you to share, I think your specialty is one of my absolute favorite things about you, and that I've talked to other girls that I graduated with, just grew up with, and we came to your house and sat, and you made us chocolate chip cookies and you brought us milk and told us, I don't remember exactly what the story was, but I remember you telling us this story and we were all crying at the end of it. And you were telling us as you were serving us chocolate chip cookies and milk. And I just remember thinking, I want to be like that when I get older, where one, I am so generous as to open my home for whoever needs it. And I know there are times to shut the doors when you need time with your family or your spouse, whatever, but you are just one of, when I think of the hostess of the mostest, my mother is incredible at it. My mom is someone that I absolutely adore and look up to. There goes my phone again. But that is one of my all-time favorite things about you and your home. I come into your home, I'm like, she is at all times ready for people to come in. And it's not a perfection thing. No, see, you say that because it's, but it feels that way. I come in. And so I think that is so incredibly important, is the home you keep and the space you keep, and just you and your walk with the Lord and your family there, I know, is what is always baking and cooking into the home. But will you just share a little bit on why your home is like that, and the importance of having a space like that and to welcome people into, and you just do it so well. That's the one, literally one of the first things I think about when I think of you, is how it feels like home, stepping into your house and talking to you and having a conversation. And it's what I want. So would you just share a tiny bit?
You know, I have just always felt that relationships are really where we live. And it's how we connect with people. And it's also what encourages us and keeps encouraging us through the years. And, you know, Jesus talked so much about relationships and about connecting with people and being in, you know, being in unity with people. And hospitality is just one of those places that I love to connect with people. I love to offer what I have to anybody, you know, to use what I have, and my home is what I have. To me, sharing that with someone, whether that's, you know, offering to do a shower for someone, or having D now here, or whatever it happens to be, that to me is something that I can share. You know, I don't have a ton of other things, you know, to share with people, but that is one thing that I can give. And to me, I want somebody to walk into my home And I want them to feel loved when they walk in and loved when they walk out.
Yeah.
And I think that is the Christ way. I think that Jesus would have us make people feel significant and loved. And so that's something that I love to do. I try my best to, if there's somebody that comes into my house, I don't care who it is. I don't care if they have the right clothes or they don't. I don't care if they have a lot or little. It doesn't really matter. If they came to my house, Jesus got them to my door, and that means I'm to welcome them in and help them wherever they are, whatever relationship, whether they have a relationship with Jesus or they don't, I just want them to feel loved in my house. And so I do that as often as I can,
Well,
to.
I for one can testify that I do. And everybody else I have ever heard of coming to your house, which was a ton of my classmates and people at church, do. So thank you for always
Well,
having your doors open. And
I was happy
I'm
to
gonna do the same one day. So thank you for being a role model for me to
it.
model
That's
after.
fine.
And I'm gonna try to be making those homemade chocolate chip cookies for
That's right. And tell that story. Tell that
I don't
story.
remember. You're gonna have to tell it to me again because I just remember crying. I don't remember exactly
Oh,
what it was, but I remember crying. Anyway,
Yes.
well, thank you a
You're
million times over
welcome.
for doing this. And I don't know. We'll see how this recording turns out, but we got it recorded.
Yep,
So
that sounds
thank
great.
you so much again for all of this. And we'll probably have to do a part two sometime because I'll probably
I'm
think of more
ready.
questions to ask you. But
I'm ready.
I so
Anytime you
appreciate it.
want to pick my brain, there's not much there left to
Without
pick,
any
but
complaint,
you're welcome to
I will. I absolutely will. Well,
it.
thank you, Miss Susan,
Thank
so
you,
much for your
Anna.
time. Love
Appreciated. Love
you.
you too.